Welcome to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We're so glad to have you today. And the other part of that we is Sharon Epps. Sharon, welcome.
Looking forward to today and investigating a subject that's of interest to so many of you, and that's investing. We're going to be talking about mutual fund investing, especially in an unstable market. And our guest today is Mark Biller. He's the executive editor of Sound Mind Investing. It is America's premier Christian financial newsletter, and we're always thankful to hear from Mark and Austin Pryor of Sound Mind Investing.
They've been our friends for a long time, and they do a great job, and I'm looking forward to that interview. But before we get to Mark, I want to share some thoughts that we've been gathering that economists are now seeing signs of life in the housing market. And Sharon, that is really good news, isn't it?
For all of us, absolutely.
Now, they can't all agree, which shouldn't come as any surprise. They can't all agree that we're actually recovering, but they do agree on this, that there cannot be a sustained recovery in the United States without an improvement in the housing market. The Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke recently called the housing issue a critical challenge to the economy, and it hurts anytime home values are falling. Existing home sales have dropped 22% since November of 2009, and sales of new homes have plunged 27% since last July, and we had a new record low in February. But economists expect the evidence of a housing rebound may start soon, and one factor they believe depressed housing sales was the winter weather. And spring should bring about more buyers. And certainly, I'm seeing that right now. I ask business owners wherever I go, how's business and is it picking up? And all of them have noticed a change or an improvement in their business since the weather started to get warmer. More people are moving about.
It's amazing. And in fact, in our own neighborhood, that's one of my barometers. In our own neighborhood, we're starting to see some houses move that have been there for quite a while.
It's always exciting, isn't it?
It is.
In fact, I keep track of that pretty closely myself. And yet the biggest threat remains foreclosures. About 5.5 million mortgages are either seriously delinquent or in some stage of foreclosure right now. And if more foreclosures come on the market, it will continue to drag down prices and slow housing starts.
And whether it's the housing market or the stock market, we all need to be informed about what's going on so that we can make good decisions. And we're looking forward to our guest today, Mark Biller of Sound Mind Investing.
We'll be talking about how an unstable market affects your mutual fund investing when we come back. You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
A successful business in a challenging economy takes more than hard work and a business degree. It takes wisdom. The kind of wisdom that can only come from the time-proven principles of leadership, decision-making, and people skills found in the Bible. Authored by financial expert Larry Burkett, Business by the Book provides a step-by-step outline from God's Word on topics such as hiring, borrowing and lending, tithing on business income, and much more. Whether you're a startup, an established firm, or you work for someone else, Business by the Book will coach you through important decisions and guide you with wisdom from God's Word. To purchase your copy of Business by the Book or to learn more about other business tools and resources, go to crown.org. That's crown.org. Or call us at 1-800-722-1976. Begin building a biblical foundation for business success today.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and our guest today is Mark Biller, Executive Editor of Sound Mind Investing. Mark, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Chuck. Glad to be here.
Well, I'm glad to have you. This is a hot topic right now. Everybody's got lots of questions about investing. The stock market is setting some records, isn't it? I mean, this recovery has been remarkable.
It has been. The last year has really been something else, and it's caught a lot of people flat-footed because, as usual, the market has done what everyone least expected at the time and has just shot up like a rocket now for a year straight.
Well, I just want to go on record as saying nobody should ever follow my investment advice about when to get in or when to get out. I just, you know, no man knows the future, and I am evidence of that.
You know, timing the market is really a difficult way to invest. That's not to say that some people can't do it, but for most of us, that is just tremendously difficult for starters. And even if you figure out a good system and follow your system, emotionally, it is a very difficult way to try to make money in the market, because you're constantly being buffeted by the concerns of, should I be in, should I be getting out? And it's just emotionally very difficult. Even when people have a proven system that works reasonably well, it's so hard emotionally. And that's really, Chuck, why at Sound Mind Investing, we have never approached investing that way. We don't encourage individual investors to try to make those timing decisions because, as you say, it's incredibly difficult. The market is a great humbler of even experts, you know. So
yeah, Warren Buffett said, if you're worried about whether you should be in the market today or out of the market, you should be out, because you don't have the constitution to endure all the daily changes. And I know, Mark, many people right now are thinking the other shoe is about to drop. There's a lot of fear that there's going to be a huge correction in the market, the double dip recession or whatever it may be. There's lots of scenarios. When trying to decide about investment decisions right now, as an expert, how much weight would you give to the current market situation if a person's deciding, should I go back in right now?
Well, you know, that really gets back to the approach that you're taking. You know, there's a lot of experts who would say you should give the current market a lot of weight. But again, those tend to be folks who are trying to make those market timing calls, and they're constantly looking at the charts and the market trends and whatnot. And that's just a really difficult way to go. So, you know, we would not recommend that the average person, the average listener there should try to make those decisions that way. Instead, we take the approach that even though it's no picnic trying to ride out bull markets and bear markets, that's the approach we take. We start with somebody's their need for capital appreciation. We look at their season of life, which is just fancy talk for how long do you have until you retire? That's what it boils down to for most people. How long is your time horizon? And we try to get a handle on their risk tolerance and come up with a portfolio allocation of stocks and bonds that someone can stick with through bull markets and bear markets and through many of those cycles.
Mark, do you ascribe to the theory that the balance in your portfolio weighted between stocks and bonds should somehow reflect your age? Are you familiar with that theory?
We sure do. That's a big part of it. You know, younger folks who have a longer time horizon should have a higher proportion of stocks in their portfolio because they have more of these market cycles to take advantage of stocks' long-term appreciation. And then as people get closer to retirement age or closer to college age, if it's a college fund, whatever the investing need is, you really need to back off of stocks as you approach your deadline or your goal, because you don't have the time to recover from a downturn like we've just had. So your bond proportion should rise as you get closer to your investment goal.
Yeah, so let me just put an example out there, Mark. If you're 20 years old, probably 80% of your portfolio is stock, 20% is bond. And then if you flip that over and you're 80 years old, 80% of your portfolio is probably bond, more secure return on your investment, and 20% is in stock, right?
That's the exact principle. And
okay,
you know, different people would put different percentages, but that's exactly the right idea.
Okay. Now, the market has improved a lot since the panic hit in 2008. Is it too late to get back in the market?
Well, it certainly isn't if you're taking that long-term approach that we're talking about. So, in other words, if you're evaluating, should I be getting into the market, we would say don't make that decision based on what the market has been doing the last 12 months. Make that decision based on how long do you have until your retirement? Do you have the need for growth to be investing in the stock market in the first place? The point really of investing in stocks is to try to get appreciation of your money in excess of the rate of inflation. That's why we go to the stock market in the first place. If you don't need that kind of appreciation, if all you need is to keep even with inflation, say, you've got enough money to live comfortably on, then we would say don't take the risk of the market. Just put it in something safe like CDs or, you know, real short-term bonds, something like that. But if you've got decades ahead, or even 5 to 10 years until retirement, then you probably do need to be approaching the stock market. And if that's the case, then you really can almost tune out what's been happening in the market lately, and you need to assess based on your timeline and your comfort level with risk how much you should have of your portfolio in stocks.
Well, it's interesting you use the term safe, and that has become a very relative term because for the last 18 months, many people felt like nothing was safe, not even having your money in a CD in an FDIC-insured bank. It felt like this giant shark had just swam by the shore. Everybody fled onto land, and they were saying, is it safe to go back in? And nobody was willing to put their toe back in the water because of that fear. It was a huge amount of fear. And it's hard to get over that and to feel like anything is safe. But actually, Mark, that's another reason that it's wrong to invest according to our emotions, isn't it?
It really is, because the conditions in the markets typically change well before the emotions change. And that happens at good times and bad times in the market.
Well, that's very well said, Mark. I want to talk to you more about that when we come back. We got to take a break. You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be back with more from Mark Biller.
You know, God encourages us to invest, and he says in Ecclesiastes 11:2 to spread out or diversify to lower our risk. And one of the best ways to diversify is mutual funds. That's why Crown Financial Ministries offers the Sound Mind Investing Handbook, a step-by-step guide to managing your money from a biblical perspective written by Austin Pryor. Recently updated to address timely topics, the Sound Mind Investing Handbook is one of the most comprehensive guides available on mutual fund investing. Yet it's still easy to understand and use. And since this handbook is written from a biblical perspective, it'll teach you how to apply God's financial principles to your investing decisions. So whether you're a beginning investor or one with more experience, the Sound Mind Investing Handbook will help you invest more wisely. To get a copy, go to crown.org or call 1-800-722-1976. That's 1-800-722-1976 or crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. Our guest today is Mark Biller, Executive Editor of Sound Mind Investing, and we're talking about safely getting back into the market, becoming an investor again. And Mark, we were talking about some of the fear that people have and how the market sometimes rises in spite of our fear, and that's certainly been happening recently. But one of the big storm clouds on the horizon, one of the things that many people are afraid of, and I think it's legitimate, is that our national debt is so great that the government's going to tank the economy, and there'll be a day that everybody is fleeing from the market because the government has run the ship aground. How can the stock market continue to go up in the very face of this crazy national debt?
Yeah, that's a great question, Chuck, and I don't think anybody can really give a definitive answer for that. I think that what we have to look at is that there really has never been a time that has seemed like, from an outside perspective, like a safe time to invest. And Ron Blue captured this better than anybody that I've ever seen before. I think it was from his book, Storm Shelter. You know, he just went through decade by decade and pointed out that, okay, you think we have these big problems today, and certainly we do. But go back to the 30s, we had a depression. Go to the 40s, we had World War II. Go to the 50s, we had an almost hot Cold War going on. You go to the 60s, we had a Cuban Missile Crisis, a presidential assassination, the beginning of Vietnam. You go to the 70s, we had runaway inflation and similar concerns, really, about government and spending that we have today. And his point is simply, there's never a time when you can get the emotional comfort that you would want to have before you get into the stock market. The only times that you think are safe, in hindsight, almost always end up to be very poor times to have invested. For example, 10 years ago, the market was at a peak. We'd had all of these great years in a row for the market. And what happened? Well, we followed that up with a decade where the market was virtually flat. So as humans, you know, we have a very poor ability to assess the current conditions and then make a good projection over to what the market is likely to do. So I agree with you, Chuck, that at some point it seems as though what we're doing as a country, as a government, is unsustainable. At the same time, people have had that same concern about our debt and how much is too much for a long time. So if we were to say, well, I don't want to be in the market until that's resolved, there's a very good chance that, you know, you and I would never be in the market again for the rest of our lives, because who knows if it really will be resolved to our satisfaction at any point.
Well, Mark, I certainly concur with that, and there's no flawless strategy. But from your perspective, what do you think's the best long-term strategy for investing?
Well, I think that part of that depends on the individual and how much they are willing to be involved with their investments. For somebody who has a 401k and that's their primary means of investing and it only has a handful of investing options perhaps, you know, we would advocate that they look for good quality index funds which are going to spread their money broadly, so you get the diversification that's an important biblical principle, and also is going to be able to participate widely in what the market does. Hopefully, as the economy grows over time, the companies will grow in value over time and that portfolio will appreciate. Now, if someone's willing to be a little bit more active, then you get into a situation where something like our Sound Mind Investing newsletter might be appropriate, where we've been able to add value beyond what the market itself has done, but it takes a little bit more effort. You have to tune in each month and make some changes in your portfolio here and there. So a lot of it has to do with the individual. But probably the most important thing, Chuck, is what we talked about earlier, which is making sure that your asset allocation is appropriate for your age and for your risk tolerance. Because if it's not, that's when you're really on dangerous ground and you're going to be very tempted to make bad decisions for your portfolio based on fear. If you have too many stocks and the stock market starts tanking, you're going to probably bail out near the bottom. And that's how long-term damage really happens within people's portfolios.
Yes, I've had a long-term propensity myself to sell low and to buy high. I've done some of the very opposite things that if I'd had a longer-term horizon, I would have avoided. So I certainly appreciate that strategy. Mark, we've got time for one more quick question. If a young person's listening today and they want to become an investor, what advice do you give them?
Well, I think the biggest thing is, again, you've got to get over the emotional hurdle of putting that money at risk. And unless you have some particular insight beyond what everyone else has in terms of when to get in, for most people, the most difficult step is just getting started. Now, you may not want to put everything you have in on day one. Maybe you break it into three or four pieces and put that in, you know, on the first Wednesday of every month or the next 4 months or something to make it a little bit more emotionally palatable for you to step into the market. But for most people, they just need to get started. They need to put that first step out there. And for most folks, that's the key, and then to add steadily over time. And most people have had pretty good success with that over time if they're diligent and if they don't let the emotional winds of the market blow them in and out at the least opportune time.
Mark, that's great advice. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Chuck.
Mark Biller, Sound Mind Investing. You can find them at soundmindinvesting.com. You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be right back.
The price of higher education has skyrocketed. According to a recent Gallup survey, families spend almost $15,000 per student per year of college, and many students often spend years just trying to decide which degree they need to pursue. Wouldn't it be better to help your child figure out what they need to study before they arrive on campus? You can, with the Career Direct Complete Guidance System from Crown Financial Ministries. Unlike other assessments that only examine one or two areas of career selection, Career Direct analyzes personality, interests, skills, and values. Your child can use it to explore career options and find the one God has uniquely gifted them for. Over 150,000 people of all ages have benefited from Career Direct. Check it out at careerdirectonline.org and get a free personality ID profile. That's careerdirectonline.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. Sharon, Mark certainly is an expert when it comes to mutual fund advice, isn't he?
And he is always full of helpful tips and things to consider as we're facing those investment decisions.
You know, it's been very painful for many people to actually lose money over the past several years in their portfolio. And that's why it's so important to keep investment decisions in context with your overall picture.
As you're joining us on this Money Map journey, you'll see that investing actually begins at Destination 5, because Destinations 1 through 4 are all about building your savings, making sure that you have the funds you need in short-term liquid accounts so that you can reach them in case of an emergency or for major expenditures.
Well, there's no doubt it's always better to start early. The earlier you start as an investor, the better off your return will be over your lifetime. However, don't start too early before you've accomplished the other destinations on the money map.
And, you know, the thing that's helpful to all of us is whether you're on Destination 1 or Destination 3 or Destination 5, the more we can learn about what's going on in the market and the world around us, the better decisions we can make to reach our goals.
Well, Sharon, that sets me up perfectly to invite all of our listeners, and that's you if you're listening right now. I want to invite you to be our guest at Crown's annual reunion in 2010. Now, all I can give you right now is a little bit of information and ask you to save the date. If you're inclined to participate with us at all, September the 23rd through the 26th needs to be marked on your calendar to be at Lifeway Conference Center. That's in Asheville, North Carolina. I like to call this a vacation with a great purpose. You're going to meet Crown champions from around the world. These are staff members and volunteers who are involved in helping us to advance the critical mission of Crown in all parts of the world. It's a fascinating experience. If you've never seen what God is doing through this ministry all over the world, this is the one time of the year when we all gather together.
And no matter what you find out about Crown around the globe, we have plenty to offer for you here at home as well. In fact, we have a surprise announcement relative to some of our speakers this year, Chuck.
Many of you listen regularly to this program, and you know that Brian Ray and Rusty Leonard are experts who join us on a regular basis, and they have committed to joining us this year for Crown's annual reunion. So you'll be able to meet them, ask them questions, whether it's about your career advice or your investment needs. That's going to be a great addition to our lineup.
It's a super time as well, just to share personally the stories of what God's doing in each of our lives as we're on this journey to financial freedom and progressing through the various destinations on the money map.
So put it on your calendar, and if you have any questions, be sure and contact us, because we would love to have you there September the 23rd through the 26th in Asheville, North Carolina. A beautiful time of year to be there as the leaves begin to change. Well, you've been listening to Money Life. On behalf of Sharon Epps and myself, Chuck Bentley, thanks for listening. I hope you'll tune in again next time.